Well, I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to read this prayer. This is a card that I borrowed from Linda Brown, and she gave it to me. It's a really neat card, so I'm just going to use this as our prayer this morning. If we bow our heads, let me just read this prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you in prayer and ask for our hearts that you would prepare so that throughout the holidays we'll see your hand in wondrous ways. Please help us trace your precious grace in every friend on every face, and help us know you're by our side to hold us close, to lead and guide. And Father, help us not forget the gift you gave to pay our debt, the Savior sent to set us free and point us towards eternity. Amen. Christmas time. Oh, it brings many different thoughts to different people. Christmas time. What do you think of Christmas? What comes to your mind when you think of Christmas? Anybody? What comes to your mind? Stress. Okay, stress. Anything else? Family. Joy. Yeah, we don't want to be at Crystal's house for Christmas. It's stressful. Anything else? Well, you know, it gives us, we all have different views on Christmas. Some, like you said, they said family. There's some that looked at it as friends. Gifts. I'm like a big kid. It seems like I never grew up. I like gifts. Food. My favorite food for Christmas is fondue. I had it since I was a kid. In Colorado Springs, fondue has come back as a big trend. It's this fondue, the melting pot, these great places for food. But back in my day, when I was younger, I was just raised with it. We'd always have the Swiss fondue. So every year I have to go find it. This year, since my things are packed away in boxes, I'll just get it where it's pre-made. But sometimes we've been starting to make it from scratch. But fondue, food. Some think of trees. Most of you think of fake trees. I think of real trees. That's why my allergies are acting up right now. Real trees. Some think of mistletoe. I think the guys would always think of the mistletoe, right? Maybe not, but I like the mistletoe on Christmas. Childhood memories. It brings back childhood memories. Caroling. We did last two Saturdays, we've done doing different carolings for Christmas. Fragrant smells, the smell of the Christmas tree, the smell of candles, and cooking. But some may have look at it differently, like Crystal. Stressful. Financial stress. Busyness. Disappointment. The things that maybe you want to get for your kids or family, you can't afford. Some, it brings a time of grief because you've lost someone, and it brings the memories flood into your life and heart, and you're like, you miss them. It brings grief because Christmas is a season where there's a strong reminder of people of the past. My mom passed away over 2 years ago. So there is some grief in there. And then sometimes hopelessness for some people that have no hope, that do not have a Savior. But when you think of the Christmas story, what comes to your mind? We think of Mary, the Virgin Mary, of that story. We think of Joseph, baby Jesus, shepherd, wise men, the star, gold, frankincense, myrrh. You may even have at your house a family nativity, this beautiful nativity. We had to get one that could, the kids could throw around, it won't break. We got at Pottery Barn, it was on sale. We're like, yeah, let's get this, because the kids could play with it. We don't have to worry about them ripping off the wings or anything of the angels. But we have these beautiful nativity scene. But I have a question here. What was it really like? I think we've westernized the Christmas story. It's magical. It's this fantasy, but we don't really look at the whole Christmas story. To understand, it was not easy. It was not something that just came and it happened like we do when you read a fairy tale. It just came. It was so beautiful. Yes, we celebrate some of the highlights, But I think it's like this fantasy novel. But what was it really like, this Christmas story that we celebrate every year? What was it really like? If we were to take our modern media back to the Nazareth and the time, if we were to take modern radio, TV, cell phones, internet, what would they report about the Christmas story when it took place and what happened behind the scenes? How would the Christmas story be different than the nice little nativity scene that we have in our homes? Because I'll tell you, it's quite a bit different than that. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38. Let's look at Mary's story this morning. Mary's story, Luke 1, 26 to 38. And let me just read this to you. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called the Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What an incredible story. Gabriel, an angel. You can imagine this young woman, Mary, being startled by this angel. Has this incredible message to Mary in Nazareth. Mary, a young woman who is betrothed to Joseph. If you remember, at this time, betrothal, she was under contract to marry Joseph. It was a form of marriage. It was not fully done at that point. She did not yet have the wedding feast and all that, but she was under contract and could only get out of a betrothal if she decided to divorce Joseph. So she was under contract to Joseph at this point. Joseph, at this point, was in his father's house preparing the bridal suite for his wife. He was there preparing it until his father would come in, look at it, and go, "It is time to go get your bride." So at this point, Joseph is preparing the bridal room in his father's house for Mary. But then Mary is alone, and angel Gabriel comes to Mary. Comes to Mary with this incredible message. Incredible message. You will bear God's son. His name will be Jesus, and he will sit on the throne of David, and his kingdom shall never end. And that's where he gets so excited about the Christmas story. Wow! Exciting! It's awesome! And then Mary's kind of like puzzled at this point, hearing this incredible news that you're favored of God, that God's blessing's on you to bear God's son, but she has a question. "I'm a virgin. How can I have a child? I've never known a man." And then Gabriel says to her, "You know what? The Holy Spirit will come upon you and it overshadow you, and you will bear a son." And Elizabeth, your relative, she's also is going to have a son, and she's 6 months pregnant, and she's older, yet with God, all things are possible. You know, we focus on that part of the story, and this is incredible, the message of the Messiah. We celebrate that every year. But you know, even though it's beautiful what we see with Mary, who after that is chosen of God to bear his son. We see Mary, a woman of great faith, who says, I'm your servant. Do it. I'm here for you. But that's where we end the story, the Christmas story. Then we jump to Joseph. We jump to other things. But do we realize what took place with Mary? Because we know after that, and we don't have time to go deep into it, but after that, she quickly goes to Elizabeth, her relative, who's now 6 months pregnant, and she goes and she sees Elizabeth. The baby inside Elizabeth jumps with joy when he hears, when John the Baptist in her womb hears Mary and stays 3 months with Elizabeth. So now she goes home. I believe at that point she's pregnant because when Elizabeth saw her, she goes, blessed are the woman, blessed are you among women, and the fruit of your womb. So at this point, she goes home. She's 3 months pregnant. Some women show, some don't at that point. But what happened when she began to show? Do we realize what she entered into from the third month to the ninth month? What did those around her see? What did people start whispering about this Mary, chosen and favored of God? Could you imagine when she comes back and what she shows? How did Joseph find out? Did he one day see her? Did she want to, at that point, come to him and say, oh, I'm pregnant, but it's God. It's not another man. What were the neighbors? What were the friends? The people around? It's a small village at that point. People are whispering. And she knows what's happened to her, but everybody else is now wondering, gossiping, slander, pointing fingers at her. She's supposed to be married. I wonder if she was fearful of being stoned to death. Because it's a form of marriage. Maybe they were going to stone her for adultery. All these things that happened to the woman who would bear God's son. The gossip. The rumors, and I just imagine the father. Mary, who's the husband? Is it Joseph? Is it some other man? Who is it? Dad, an angel visited me. Would you believe that? No, we know the end of the story. Oh, I would be faith. I would believe. Yeah, right. We'd all think, who's the person? Who's the guy? If we had modern media and it was on the radio or TV, how would they report? Mary so-and-so has arrived back from visiting her relative Elizabeth, and she has come back pregnant. The whole town of Nazareth is in shock. Mary was betrothed to Joseph, the son of David, and at this time her fathers declined to comment at this time. But it does make us wonder, is the baby from Joseph or another man? There is a confirmed source that told us that Mary had a visitation by an angel, that her pregnancy was caused by God. Yeah, right. Can you imagine what was going through with Mary, the woman who says, I am your servant. And then at that point, all the rumors, the gossip. Do you like when people talk about you behind your back? Make up things about you? Say things even though you know the truth, yet everyone else is whispering behind your back. Yes, this is a beautiful story at the beginning of Mary being chosen and a great woman of faith, and we can learn from her faith that despite what she went through, she chose to offer herself to God. But it was not an easy road for her. But she had to walk through by faith, by faith. Now, what about Joseph's story? What about his story? But first, I want to say, before we jump in the story, despite the scandal with Mary, Mary made room for Jesus in her life, despite the scandal. And I'll say, but for everyone else, there was no room for Jesus. If you have your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The story of Joseph. Matthew 1, 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So now Joseph finds out somehow that Mary, his betrothed, is now pregnant. He's been preparing in his father's house. Who knows at what stage he was at to go get his bride, but he was preparing the bridal shower and the news came. Maybe he heard it. Maybe Mary came and tried to tell him. Maybe he heard it through his friends. Did you see Mary? Something? She's pregnant. Something happened and the rumors are going around. Now Joseph knows. He's a just man. He knows she is pregnant. But I'll tell you, I really respect Joseph here. Even though in many ways it would have shattered everything he was preparing for her. He's going to bring her home, and that's all now on hold. It stopped, boom, she's pregnant. He's wondering what to do. What am I going to do with this Mary? He could have brought her out and accused her publicly and went through a big public divorce. He could have got stones and he would stone her because she's been with another man. She's broken the contract. But instead, he was just, as it says in this passage, but you also see a kindness in Joseph. And he goes and he's meditating about, okay, I will divorce her quietly. I don't want to make her go through the shame. I'm a just man, but there's some type of kindness we see in this Joseph. A kindness. And then it happens. One night, as he's considering these things, he goes to take a nap. He falls asleep, and an angel comes to him. You know what? I want you to take Mary, for she, what's conceived in her, is of the Holy Spirit. Do you wonder what Joseph thought at that point? I imagine there was some sigh of relief. Oh, maybe what Mary told him. Oh, it was true. Or from whoever he heard in the rumors. Oh, okay, it wasn't Mary. She did not cheat on me. She was not with another man. There's a big relief there, but I wonder if there's also... Because at this point, he has a choice. What will he do? Because by coming out and publicly continuing with the marriage and going to the wedding feast and everything else, you know what he's doing here? He's telling everybody, the child is mine. Because a normal person in the circumstances, they would divorce. They would stay away, not only from the fearful of possibly being stoned or something, but no. But by Joseph, the man of faith and kindness and justice, when he steps forward to take Mary, he is telling everybody else, even though he knows the truth, Mary knows the truth, everyone else will say, it's now Joseph's child. That's not easy. I don't like when people talk bad about me. I don't like when people accuse me of things that aren't true. I try to argue to defend myself, and I wonder how they had to, or if they just secluded themselves from their small town, from the gossip and everything that took place. It was not that simple for Joseph and Mary. It was a big step for Joseph to step forward and claim this child, the child of God, as his own. What would the modern media report the story of Joseph? We have come with shocking news from you from Nazareth this morning. Joseph, the son of David, will take Mary to be his wife. We now know who the father is. The town of Nazareth is in shock. This story could easily be portrayed as a modern day soap opera. What a beautiful story we look at in the manger every year. Yes, we see the great faith of a man, Joseph. And we're challenged to obey God no matter what. But it was through a lot of pain, embarrassment, for everyone else not to know and for you to know the truth. But despite all the controversy, Joseph made room for Jesus. To everyone else, there was no room for this Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn it back over to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Luke 2, 1 to 7. Let me just read this passage. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. There was no place for them in the inn. Now a decree goes out from Caesar Augustus that everyone was to go to the ancestral home to be counted and to be registered. And we see in the story now that Joseph needs to go from the northern kingdom all the way down to Bethlehem, because his ancestral home is of this line of David, and that's Bethlehem. So he has to make a long journey. But what's interesting to me in this passage is Mary and Joseph at this point are still betrothed, it says. They haven't gone the next step of the wedding feast and the consummation of their marriage yet. For me, this hints that there may have been several reasons why Joseph took Mary down to Bethlehem with him. First, maybe because they were to be married, they needed to be part of the worldwide census. Could also have been that Joseph wanted to bring Mary because of the controversy that surrounded their relationship to get her out of Nazareth. He wasn't willing to leave Mary by herself. I don't know. We're just guessing. We don't know. But I'll tell you what. Whatever reason, it would not be fun for a pregnant woman who's really pregnant to go on this trip. Think about it. It was about 70 to 80 mile journey. To the average person, it would take about 4 days. With a pregnant woman, we don't know how she traveled. It doesn't tell us. I'm pretty positive that was she rode some donkey or something. Because who would be the stupid guy to go up to a woman who's very pregnant and say, oh, let's go on an 80-mile trip and walk it? No. Have you ever been around an uncomfortable pregnant woman? I won't say much because I want to live longer in my life. But we know how it is. It's tough. You get out of, get out of the bed. Well, how many times during the night at the last trimester? A lot. It was a long, gruesome journey for a pregnant woman. And I'll tell you, it was a long, gruesome trip for the man as well. 70, 80 mile journey. Them both knowing what they've gone through. It was not some great honeymoon. Woohoo, yeah, pregnant one, let's do it. No. It was a long trip. Knowing all surrounding you, wonder the conversations they had about Jesus, around everything that was going on in the town of Nazareth. Maybe there was some sigh of relief for a moment to get out of that controversy, to be on the road, but then the suffering of the long journey at that time for Mary and Joseph. And then they get to Jerusalem. Whew. And you can imagine, a lot of people have been traveling to their ancestral home at this time, and they come to an inn, and there is no room for them. There is no room for Jesus. But I know we look at this and we think, oh, there's a barn. We have this beautiful manger, and he was born in the barn because there is no room in the inn. It may not have quite been like that. Inn can also be translated guest room. And at the time, they found in the time of Jesus, where there were homes, where the guest quarters and the main bedrooms were on the second story. So there's a possibility when they came, they could even went to their own relative's home, and all the guest rooms, all the main level was taken up, was filled. But many of the homes at that time had a room at ground level where they'd bring in the animals to protect them from the weather and to protect them from other predatory animals. And so it was very likely that this was the place that they were placed. Now, there is some tradition that believe it was in a cave, and some say it was in this tower where the shepherds watched, would go and protect themselves from the weather. But whatever it was not a good place to have your child, to have a baby. It was not a good place to have the God of the universe. I don't know about you, but whatever it was, you ever go in those places? Sometimes it smells pretty good when you lay the hay down freshly or whatever. But there's a lot of odors. There's a lot of smells. I wonder if every year we should get a box and take something from a horse or cow, put it in there and give it to everyone for Christmas. Oh, this was Merry Christmas. That's what it's like. I don't know about you, but you're really protective of your firstborn. Second, third, it gets worse and worse. And you're, well, okay, no big deal after this. But the first one, to have a child and knowing you, Mary and John, knowing this is your child and he's born in a barn with smell and animals. And even if they would have drove the animals out, all the animals leave were probably there. And even if you clean it up, they're probably something they missed. The smell and the odor, God in flesh in the lowliest of places was the Son of God. This is the whole Christmas story. Of the magical angels and the shepherds. But I'll tell you, it's beautiful, but it's not beautiful as well. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, but do we ever really take time to think of all that took place to get Jesus here? All that later happened where Herod goes and slaughters and kills hundreds of children looking to kill Jesus. Death came. Things happened to try to prevent the Messiah. And it was a whole story of all these upheavals of events that took place. But despite everything, Mary and Joseph made room for Jesus. And those in the inn did not make room for Jesus. So I'll tell you, so the Christmas story is not so rose-colored as we paint it during this holiday season. But if I had time this morning to tell you more of the whole Christmas story, there would be others who did make room for Jesus. There's the wise men and shepherds. The wise men who took their long journey, and the shepherds who came, they made room for Jesus in the midst of this story. If I had time to give an account of Jesus' life, there were those who believed Jesus, and there were those who rejected Jesus. So you really, if you go down through history, you'll see there's only two types of people. Those who make room for Jesus and those who have no room for Jesus. Which person are you this morning? This will determine your eternity. This will determine if God makes room for you in heaven. Depends if you make room for Jesus. It's our choice. The beautiful gospel message that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The beautiful gospel message that Jesus died for our sins and was buried, and 3 days later he rose from the dead, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You make room for Jesus and he makes room for you for eternity in his presence in heaven. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, it's a free gift. You can't be good enough. Going to church isn't enough. That doesn't do anything when it comes to getting into heaven in that sense. It's important, yes, and that's scriptural. But what gets you into heaven is Jesus. He gets you into heaven if you make room for him or not. And if you want to make that decision, come to me after the service. My wife and I would love to pray and give you more details of what it means to accept Jesus into your heart and life. Well, what are you saying? Oh, I made room for Jesus. I made room for him. Well, what can we learn from the story besides of the great faith of Joseph and Mary and all these other things we can learn from the story? I think there's something we can learn if you've made room for Jesus this morning. Have you been lost in the craziness of the season? Stress. Busyness. And lost sight of the reason for the season. I battle every year. I do the finances in our home, and it always stresses me out. How are we going to do this, and get this for the kids, and Diana's side of the family, blah, blah, blah. And just kind of, and it just seems like the whole season is like, oh, I just don't want to go in debt this year like I did last. Are you going to make room for Jesus in the holiday season? It's not too late. We still have today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, to make room for Jesus in this season, in this time, to celebrate, to praise, to take time in the midst of the busyness so it's not so focused on the money, but it's focused on him. Have you made room for Jesus in this holiday season? Or have you made no room for him in the midst of the busyness and craziness of life? It's a time to worship. We have the worship team come forward. Take time this morning to remember the whole Christmas story, both the beauty and the magic, as well as the pain, the disappointment, the long journey and travel of a couple who wanted to obey and fulfill what God has called them to fulfill. A baby born to die. But as we worship this morning, may we be like the wise men who came to worship Jesus. And may we come and make room for Jesus during this busy holiday season. As we worship, may we choose this year, I'm going to do it different than I've done in years past. Let's worship.